When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the one thing all great teams have in common?
Great coaching.
Try to suck up to me, Andrew.
Hey! Goldberg! I bet if that talk was a cheeseburger, you'd stop it!
No, I agree. I would not be an acid physically. I have more of a podcast body.
Quack! 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 No! No!
It's the Quack Attack Podcast.
Hey, everybody. We're a screen family. We don't talk. I'm Mike. That's Tommy.
Hello, everyone.
That's Kevin.
Hey, y'all.
Welcome to the Quack Attack Podcast, the definitive Mighty Ducks podcast. We are back to give our instant analysis on Mighty Ducks Game Changers Episode 4, entitled Hockey Moms. I think the alternate title is Coob's Redemption, but we'll get into that later. Just your opening thoughts here, Kevin, on Episode 4.
Episode 4 was particularly cheesy. They laid the cheese on pretty thick in this one. I think it did kind of answer a lot of our questions that we've had over the last few weeks, or I guess the first three episodes. You know, just with kind of Coob kind of coming out of his shell and some things like that, and a couple redemption storylines in this one. It was a little cheesy for my taste particularly, but I mean, it was good. And we got to see, you know, Bombay coaching, like literally coaching again, which was cool. But yeah, that's kind of probably my overview of it.
Nice. Tommy?
Yeah, I agree with what Kevin said. Definitely cheesy. When I saw that this episode was called Hockey Moms, I was like, oh, Kevin's going to have some thoughts on this. and then like, I think like a teaser shot was like Bombay, like training the moms. I was like, oh, here we go. And there, you know, we've talked about Bombay's past with women. And so I'm going to bet that's going to be a recurring theme, you know, down the road for this podcast, maybe with this new crop. And so, yeah, a lot of cheese. They, you know, wrapped up a couple of things, like Kevin said, Coop him out of his shell. And, you know, you've got, you know, Sophie now on the Don't Bothers and with her dad signing off on it. So that's nice. But I think they also kind of set the scene more for some kind of confrontation between Lauren Graham's character and her boss. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, like, so it's kind of two things jumped out to me, and we can talk about this later, but is there going to be kind of a hearkening back where Lauren Graham has to coach or has to work late, so she's not able to coach, and so Bombay steps in, a la Miss McKay? Or we also going to have something where like Bombay steps in because he does have a law degree and he was a good lawyer, you know, undefeated, with an asterisk. And so there's got to be something there. It's no coincidence that she's like a law clerk, and you know, her boss is kind of a, you know, has no real world, you know, kind of knowledge of what's going on for things that aren't, you know, below her. She doesn't have much of a blue collar interest.
Yeah.
On those two points, I'll make two predictions. One of which will be true, I think. Bombay buys her some kind of book that's like studying for the bar or something like that. So like gifts that to her, and she quits her job.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, a lot to go on here. Just for me, the opening thoughts, yeah, I thought it was kind of like a tangential episode. It was just like these hockey moms were really like part of the story. Yeah, the cheese, I thought there were some great like little one-liners in there. Mm-hmm. That I enjoyed were a screen family, you know, I will represent Belgium.
Yeah, that was great.
I thought it was funny. Ever get punched in the face and the whole best friend thing. So
I liked the beer bottle line from Bombay. That's like something you can imagine when your friends would say, like, oh, it's our new marketing campaign.
Yeah. Yeah. So to go back to, obviously Alex's job is put sort of in the limelight or in the spotlight here. It's, with given Bombay's past and given Bombay, you know, it's the creator of Bombay, and he set him up to be a lawyer, and now Alex is a paralegal and struggling. I do think that's going to play a factor in some sense. So that's a good catch there. A lot to talk about here. I will say, sort of a little tangentially before we really get going, a lot of chatter on Twitter, on Facebook about Charlie Conway possibly being Evan's dad. Some people think that's 100% the case. Other people disagree, saying, you know, that would be super weird when Bombay hooks up with Alex and it's Charlie's ex-wife or ex-girlfriend or whatever. So
the most Bombay move like possible. And like, you got to feel like Brill would be inspired by this podcast, mostly Kevin, for that bit of writing. I don't know. Keep going, Mike.
Yeah. And then the other thing that people were, they were sort of taking us to task with was last episode we talked about the tape and, you know, why don't you just give them tape? And people were saying that the point was that the kid couldn't even afford tape. So Bombay gave him money, not that he literally gave him money for tape, but I think the point still stands. Why don't you just help him from a hockey equipment standpoint?
Not only equipment, but you're going to be able to get him ways to get food. Like food, you know, better lodging, things like that. There's way to do it without literally giving him cash or a check. That's like the first thing that you're told as like a college coach is like, don't fucking give people money. And so like,
unless you want to win.
Yeah. And so that's the real reason. So Quackalites, you guys should know that he gave him money not because he couldn't afford tape. Maybe that was the case, but he's probably a pretty good player as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, he plays for the Islanders now. So there. But yeah, I just wanted to get that before we got too deep in here. But for me, obviously, you start with, you know, Stephanie, Alex's boss, and her husband just sort of randomly showing up in a back alley behind the Ice Palace, and then the Huskies just happen to drop out, and the parents just, or their friends just happen to bail. I thought it was a real clunky start there, but how do we feel about the whole dinner and that whole sort of relationship between the two, I guess, couples, for lack of a better term there?
I thought it was weird just because that doesn't seem like something her boss would ever do. Like they're not like friendly like that, you know? So I thought that was strange. But I guess I can see the motivation where she wanted to do it to kind of like, you know, just get a few more barbs in. So maybe that's, you know, more of the motivation there than like actually being friendly or thinking she's being friendly. But I guess I agree with your point. It was a lot of things came and, you know, happened at once to kind of open that door.
Yeah. And I thought there would have been maybe a better way to do it. Like, I think she could have mentioned that the Huskies bailed at work or something. And then Alex got mad and challenged her to the like mom's skills challenge. They could have done it at work, but they also would have needed sort of Bombay in there to, I think they were sort of, they wanted him to meet the boss. So a lot to figure out there. But I guess I'll give it a pass just because it was pretty clear they were trying to just move it along and really get to the meat there. But
yeah, like they're setting things up. And, you know, I do appreciate that. And when you've got 10 episodes, you can't just like, you can't just have like a super slow burn. You know, this isn't, you know, Better Call Saul where they're, you know, kind of harkening back to things from like 2 years earlier. You just gotta like set it up and not, then knock it down, or like, and then like reset for the next episode, like they did like at the end of episode 3 with Sophie, like, oh, my parents don't know. But also, speaking of like kind of clunkiness, the whole her doing both practices, I thought that was like a good setup actually to begin with.
I wrote down, I liked how she's double dipping, like Brink style.
Yeah. And I did like that they did actually have a permission slip. So it's like, okay, like they are acknowledging that, like someone might call them like, how is this person switching teams in the middle of the season? Mm-hmm. So that was, I appreciated that. And I, one would think Sophie's smart enough not to leave her don't bothers, you know, sweater on, but she's so overworked. I can forgive that. So I thought that was that whole unraveling was a lot cleaner than the, you know, like the hockey mom storyline. Not that I didn't appreciate that. I like the skills kind of challenge. That was kind of like a nice wrinkle.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the Sophie arc was very good and very realistic. You know, she is trying to get on the team, doesn't want to tell her parents. Parents say no, and then she forges the permission slip. Like, I could see all that happening.
I liked all of that up until the point where she barters on the don't right. bother's mom's winning. It's like, that's, you're setting yourself up for a huge failure there, Sophie. Like, I don't know. I thought everything else was great. And then I was like, what are you doing, Sophie? This is dumb. Because it almost seemed like she could have convinced them right in that moment without that. You know, it kind of seemed like she could have, you know, but then she just like threw that out there. It's like, there's no way they're going to win. Which, of course, they do end up winning.
Sort of. Well, kind of. Yeah. Yes and no.
I did like how it gave the dad an opportunity to do the kind of the reverse heel turn.
The switcheroo. Yeah. See, you make some points. I'm going the other way here. I don't know that her parents, who are so serious and so, you know, Jay was a French horn player because they knew Harvard's band would be short on French horn players.
Great scouting. Really yeah. great yes, scouting.
Yes.
But so
also
they're going to.
Psychotic scouting.
They're going to put Sophie's future on this mom's skills challenge after all that planning and stuff like that. And they obviously think the Ducks are the best place for her. So I don't know how sort of realistic that was.
Well, we've established that they're like psychotic in terms of their planning. And mm-hmm. so based on that, you know, precedence, one would think that they're actually, they foresaw all of these outcomes. And so they were essentially on the fly able to be like, hey, she's going to bet it on that mom's challenge. And then like she wins, great. She loses, like the dad's like, I will go and say like, hey, I wanted to see how happy you were. And they probably knew that they were going to win anyway. And yeah, so this was the plan to like make sure that she's quote unquote happy, knowing that she's also going to perform better if she's happy.
Okay, no, none of that. But
so this is like, the fan theory that you're going to like.
Even like banking on the fact that Sophie would throw out the mom's challenge is so out of left field that like there's
so,
no
so
way.
The French horn thing you're cool with though. That scouting
I mean,
report
at least,
of
like, that's
ninth
like
graders.
A psycho parents. Like, yeah, that makes sense to a point. But like them calculating that far in advance on a ridiculous like throwaway mom's skills challenge. Like, no, come on.
Well, I mean,
so there
I'm
you
all
have
for
it,
a good
everyone.
Theory, but
we've talked about Miss McKay being a time traveler, and Kevin was like, I can see that. But these uber.
Those
you
are
know,
in a set of circumstances.
These uber. well, he's like uber hockey moms. Like, no, that's where you draw the line.
Yeah.
But
we're trying to stay as much in reality right now as possible.
But the interesting part for me is the Huskies dropped out, right? Why? Yeah. Was it Sophie's parents? Did they have anything to do with the Huskies dropping out to put this whole plan into motion? Did they get Alex's boss lost and have this chance running? Like how this, deep are we going down the rabbit hole here?
All right. So here's what happened. The Sophie's parents were the parents that were supposed to meet Lauren Graham's boss, right? They canceled. They said, hey, take this direction, like take these directions, knowing it'll go through the ice palace. And then they canceled on them as well and got the Huskies to back out, knowing that, you know, Bombay, Lauren Graham would be there. And so they set it all in motion that way. And so that's the that was the long game. So this wasn't an on the fly thing, Kevin. Mm. And they're smart. They probably knew all about Sophie, like going to this don't bother thing. So they're very attentive parents, it seems like, except for their kids' feelings, maybe.
I think the more realistic scenario is that Alex's boss pushed the Huskies to drop out, knew that they were practicing at the Ice Palace, and then set this whole thing up to like accidentally show up and be lost just so that she could like demoralize Alex. And then that just worked out to Sophie's parents or to their benefit, and then
she does seem to have a lot of like backhanded compliments.
Yes,
like, and I think
that's the more likely scenario, is that she wanted to, like, you know, put Alex in her place by like forcing them to be in the, you know.
Yeah.
Do you think she's threatened by Alex, like, even though she's not like a quote-unquote real lawyer?
Yeah.
She's got to keep her down, knowing that if she were to rise up, she'd be a great lawyer, better than her.
Mm.
I think we got a couple of, we'll put it to the Quacklights to see what the most likely scenario is. Like, who is who's the mastermind behind the Huskies' withdrawal? Which set of parents?
Yeah. I also think that Alex's boss just might have an affinity for power. I don't know if she's really threatened by Alex, or I think she just likes lording that sort of over everybody there. But yeah, a lot there. But the only thing with Sophie that my question at the end was is, what is the mom going to do when she finds out? But if this was all orchestrated by the two parents, then that question goes away. Because right now the dad sort of crossed the picket line and sided with his daughter here. So
maybe Harris won't be the only one who's like without a wife going forward.
I can't wait until we get the Adam Banks's dad situation with Sophie's mom, where she's cheering for the Ducks when they play the Don't Bothers.
Oh yeah, she's wearing the Ducks jacket or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That was nice. All right, so I think we've spent enough time on Sophie. Obviously, the biggest arc of the episode, but two other real arcs there was Coop.
Wait, hang on. Can we go back to the dinner just real quick?
Sure.
I thought the just Bombay being the pot stirrer in general was really funny. Like when he asked, like, have you ever been punched in the face and stuff like that? And like, I just really liked him kind of like prodding and like trying to get Alex to like confront her. I thought that was just like a really good, and it plays really well into like Bombay's now character, where he's like this curmudgeon, but he's kind of like softening up a little bit. And even being like the coach for Alex. I thought that was good.
Yeah.
Plus that restaurant was pretty dope. I just wanted to see that.
Yeah, it was a good foreshadowing, no matter how sort of clunky it started. It did foreshadow the ending and Bombay's training with her pretty well. But the other two arcs I was going to mention was Coob and then sort of Bombay and Alex. Obviously the skills challenge was a vehicle to deepen the relationship for Bombay and Alex here, but Tommy.
So yeah, I have a question about the skills challenge. So those slapshot miles per hour they were talking about, how realistic were those speeds for those folks?
I feel
like you could probably crank it up a little bit with, you know, just like a week of training.
Yeah. The issue was like the shots they showed versus the mile per hour was completely different. It was like going like maybe 10 miles an hour and they're like 41. I guess you got to suspend some belief here, but I thought it was actually okay. You know, if I was to take a slap shot now, maybe 55, 60 miles an hour. So you have some moms who, you know, doing it in the 40s. Like, I do think some training, yeah, the training would probably help. And if this girl's or this mom's been doing it for, you know, 4 or 5 years now and is the reigning champ, I feel like she could get somewhere around, you know, 45, 50, 55 if she's practicing all the time for this one skills challenge. But I thought it was all right. Like, I was like, okay, at least they're trying to be realistic here with the miles per hour.
Can we talk about like the lead up for that and the skills challenge before we jump into Coob? I feel like this is a good time to like touch on that. As I mentioned earlier, I thought it was cool that we get to like see Bombay actually coaching for the first time. I thought the intros to the parents was good.
Yeah.
I liked Maya and her like clone mother. And then Logan's dad, his whole little monologue was great, where he refers to his wife's blueprints as being actually a guy named Tom. That was a funny line. I was expecting his intro to go a different way because, like, he's a handsome dude. I was expecting, like, the moms to start, like, swooning over him. But, like, that didn't happen at all, so that kind of threw me for a loop. I liked the line from Bombay also, where he has the radar gun and he's like, oh, I think it's in sleep mode.
Yeah.
That was a good joke. But yeah, I just wanted to like touch on those things because it was, I thought that scene was particularly good.
I agree. I enjoyed circle time. I had that in my notes. The sort of parent circle time was enjoyable. Maxwell's moms, all of them. Yeah, I am interested to see where we go with this whole Logan thing because they sort of brought it back up here. And I guess you could sort of have it as just sort of background, but they sort of brought this guy into play now. And he's, is it just like a comedic thing or is this actually going to go somewhere?
But, yeah, I wonder like how much these other parents are going to play in, like, you know, like Lauren's mom, like, there's like, oh, me and my husband were both dentists, like a lot of money from hockey players. So it's like, okay, that's a good one liner. You don't need to have her the rest of the series, but you could see them playing some kind of role. And then Harris, yeah, also, like, I was like, oh, he's a handsome guy. Like, I expected some kind of like acknowledgement of that there.
I do think his character would be good if he just like becomes one of the moms and like starts like bringing everybody like cookies and stuff like at the games and things like that. I do think that could be like a funny character.
Yeah, I like that. I also liked Maxwell Simpkins, his mom's there, it was referenced, you know, a couple of episodes ago that he had two moms, and I thought that they've done a really good job kind of showing these, you know, wholesome, you know, positive, you know, LGBTQ like characters on there without making it like a big deal. Like no one seems to give a shit, which I really like.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to give them a shout out for that, you know, kind of showing that healthy relationship there.
Yeah. I said Maxwell's moms. I should say Nick's moms. I'll try to go with the characters here, but I guess when you talk to them, it gets a little confusing in the old brain. But that is a good point. They've normalized it. And again, yeah, like Tommy said, no one really gives a shit. One note from the training, Bombay rocking the old Sherwood wooden stick. Everyone else has composites. I like that little throwback, very old school, to go with the all wood stick instead of these new Warrior CCM composites. It seemed to be an intentional choice because all the moms had the new sticks and stuff like that. So I'm curious how much thought was put into that. And then obviously we have Bombay and Alex working on slap shots and, you know, Bombay grabs our hips. How did we feel about sort of the development there? Are we starting to see a little bit of romance going on with Alex and Bombay? But how do we just feel about Bombay's and Alex's sort of slap shot training deal there?
I like that it's not like kind of just jumping straight into it, kind of like we had with Bombay and Charlie's mom. Like they seem to just be like, okay, we're dating, we're going on a date now. You know, like I kind of like the awkward back and forth, the kind of like guarded nature of it. They're both like really guarded, so I think I like the way it's going so far, without it being like too cheesy or anything like that.
Yeah, I agree. I thought the like start with the hips thing was a little cheesy.
Yeah.
It's like everybody does that thing in every single sort of rom-com movie. But yeah, I thought Bombay's speech was strong there when she was practicing the slap shots and like sort of got her mad and, you know, you gotta stop taking in or whatever. So I thought that was pretty good. But anything else here on the mom's challenge that we want to point out? Anything else on Bombay and Alex before we really get into Coop here?
One note that I wrote down, obviously this didn't play out, but I thought for a moment before we had like the stepped over the line thing, I thought it was going to be a situation where like Bombay had figured out how to rig the radar gun or something like that. Because even like her shot looked slower, you know, when they showed it.
Yeah.
So I was like, ooh, is this going to happen? It didn't happen, obviously. But I think that's kind of the only thing that I really have written down. Aside from Logan's dad had another like funny moment in the background whenever they were competing that I caught that was pretty good. Yeah, I think that's all I got.
That was a good point on the radar gun, because it definitely looked like her shot was just puttering along. But I think it actually would have been better if he rigged the radar gun versus the like step over the line or the 41 miles an hour. I thought it was a little, I enjoyed that they lost. I thought stepping over the line was a dumb way to do it.
Yeah.
Because they're like sort of in motion. You're on skates. So
I do think you got a little like glimpse of Coach T kind of questioning whether he should follow through on that.
I wasn't,
like,
yeah.
I thought for a moment he was going to be like, no, we can't do this. You know what I mean? He didn't quite get there, but I thought we were going
to
get that.
Well, he was thinking like, this might be good motivation to let them win and like be like, look, hey, Ducks, these kids beat your moms. You better go beat the shit out of them on the ice, you know?
Yeah, that's a
but
good
point. He just ended all chance of them like of him having like any kind of redemption thing there.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just an evil dude. But there is one wide shot during the skills challenge where it looks like Coach T has an assistant coach, and I was trying to see if that was our new friend Dave Tomlinson, but it's too far wide to really tell if that's him standing there. It's just somebody else.
In the first Ducks training session, I was trying to see, is there one of these kids that looks kind of bigger? And some of them do look kind of big. Like, you know, I'm sure they might have like a couple of like, you know, 15-year-olds who are skating with the Ducks to give them that imposing feature. So I wonder if Dave is skating in some of those scenes, because he mentioned he had to like stand in and hunch over.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll be on the lookout for him. If you haven't listened to that episode, go back and listen to it. He's a great guy. It was very easy to talk to. So told some great stuff, gave some good behind-the-scenes stuff. So let's go on now to Coob. Obviously,
the sleepover.
Coob. Yes, the sleepover. Nick trying to be best friends with Evan, really excited about it. Coob gets invited in.
But and even before that, when he's getting like the best friend advice from Winnie, that was good.
Yeah.
That was a really funny scene.
Yeah, it seems like he and Winnie are gonna have some sort of interaction going forward here. So I'm fine with that. But yeah, Coob gets in and then really sort of turns it around here. But just what did you make of the whole sleepover thing? And then, you know, no screens after 10 p.m. and they go and steal the phones.
So you'd think they would have been like playing video games earlier in the night or something like that. Like, what are you going to do in a sleepover? Like in, you know, rural America, not necessarily rural, but it was, you know, you'd think they'd be doing that. And, you know, Coob was on his phone. He didn't have a charger with him. It's a little bit of a stretch. But you know, I like that they invited Coob, and I guess you had to figure they were going to get him singing at some point in the series. So,
I thought the moment when Nick's moms walk in and they say that it's, and then he explains how it's like a no screen policy or whatever, I thought it was a really funny scene, because like it's very much like Nick is oblivious to like what most kids are like horrified by about their parents, like his mom like rubbing his head, and then his other mom, he like blows her a kiss, you know, just like things like that they're just funny and like make Nick so funny and endearing. I thought that was really good. I will say one thing that I have written down is Evan and Nick are enablers for going and like throwing out the idea, like instead of trying to just push Coob to like, you know, that he doesn't need a screen, they're like, let's go steal your phone back. Like that seemed very counterintuitive to me, but you know, I guess it kind of worked out.
But, yeah.
I just thought that scene particularly was very funny.
It's a good point by Tommy. If you're Coob, the first thing you're packing is a charger, but I guess you don't usually go to sleepovers. So, you know, maybe he was just out of practice there. I did like sort of the mission to steal the phone back. The random show tunes. I don't know if that was
strange. That was just an excuse to get Coob to sing, right? Because he's the one that was on America's Got Talent.
Right. And Brill sort of teased that. There's a couple teases from people we talked to about some singing.
I did think it was funny that one of Nick's moms was crying. That was really good.
So it was a good excuse to get him to sing, although it seemed kind of random that Coop would just be this huge show tunes fan. But I overall enjoyed the sleepover. I thought it was funny.
Nick rolling after Evan did was really funny.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good. Yeah, Nick, as you mentioned, sort of oblivious to other kids. He's like, oh yeah, we have a strict screens policy. And Coop putting his phone in through the basket, they put some like horror music behind it, which I thought was a nice little touch. Yeah, anything else on the sleepover or any other notes we have not hit on before we hand out our awards?
I thought it was funny, the scene where Sophie is practicing with the ducks first, and Coach T is making all the clown references when he's like, I like my clowns to be happy, not laugh at me, or some whatever he said. I thought that was really funny. I'm forgetting the context, but I have clown suit in quotes written down. It's when Sophie takes the jersey off and he goes, why is she in a clown suit? Right.
Yeah.
That was funny. I think the moment with Sophie's dad was good, but I particularly like the end when Bombay and Evan's mom had like the very much like Bombay and Charlie's mom, like that very scene is, you know, very reminiscent. And also during the mom training sequence, I liked, I thought we were going to get a few agains whenever she kind of like messed up the first one, kind of harkening back to the Captain Blood. Those are the big ones that I've written down. But Nick being the best friend, like trying to be like not awkward, but being awkward the entire time was funny.
Mm-hmm. Tommy, so I have two more notes. One I'm going to save for the MVP talk, but the first one was, or the note I'll share right now is that the whole Slapshot thing, this was like begging for a Fulton Reed cameo.
Oh, I know. I was thinking that the entire time.
And so like you got to wonder if it wasn't COVID and like weird shooting schedules, like would this have been the time? Would they have wanted to do like cameos throughout?
But it would have been so easy. He could have just been like, I brought in a special,
Like I got a guy who's like, who knows what he's doing? Like one out of five, you're going to hit one of those shots or something like that. So that was a little disappointing. But again, we don't know all the circumstances. But we're really looking forward to cameos later on.
Yeah, no, that's a great point because they take five shots in the mom skills challenge. So he teaches her how to hit it one out of five. Oh, yeah, that would have been great. Good point, Kevin, on the ending there. Very reminiscent of Casey Conway. Do you want to come in? And then he, you know, comes in. And obviously.
One other quick note too. Evan continues to be a really good leader when he like convinces Nick to invite Coop over.
Yeah.
That he just continues to grow into that leadership role.
Yeah. One joke we hadn't talked about was like Bombay was getting mad, like they were making fun of the place we practice, and there was a string of murders here recently.
Yeah, that was two blocks away. That was good.
Yeah, that was a good line. But let's go on now to our awards. We are high points, our low points, and then our MVPs. Let's go with our high point first, and I'll start it off. To get going, I enjoyed the sleepover. I enjoyed the mission to get Coop's phone back, even with his show tunes, you know, Coop showing his singing ability. Very sort of rollicky, if that's a word, and fun. So I'm going with the high point being the sleepover. Tommy?
I think that's a good point. You know, my high point, I think I would give it to like the skills challenge and like kind of like the hockey moms. I liked that arc. I liked that it's like, you know, when you're beginning in the series, you're like 10 episodes. Okay, how are they going to do this? And they've done a good job of kind of keeping me engaged by having something different, even though we've seen one game of hockey or two, I guess, because they got their asses kicked once and they played the Ducks. So I liked that. I think that was the high point. I thought some of the execution could have been done a little bit better, but Bombay training the moms, I guess, would be the high point, and the introduction of the moms, like kind of learning more about these characters.
Kevin?
Yeah, I think I'm going to agree with that, mostly on the point of getting to know the moms. I think they'll be a fun part of the show. I think that's probably close with the sleepover. I did like the sleepover scene. Jen, and it's, I mean, any scene with Nick in it is just crushing it. But I think I'll go with the skills challenge, kind of that entire arc, and mostly just learning about the moms and then also Logan's dad.
That's fair. I enjoyed the moms for sure. And yeah, Logan's dad throwing it in there. But let's go to the low point now. Kevin, we'll start with you. What's your low point?
Low point for me, I guess, will be, I'm going to say Sophie, just throwing out the idea that the no don't bothers moms would ever beat the Ducks moms. Like, that's just like the dumbest, it just doesn't make any sense. Like, just a bad idea. And also, like, in that same vein, this is a bit tangential, but like the scoring didn't make any sense in that challenge. Like,
yeah, you
know, it was like 5-4, and then they just like did the next one, and then the Ducks scored by hitting one target.
Yeah.
So I don't know. So those two things, I guess, in concert, but I'll go with Sophie throwing out the idea that the Don't Bother's moms would ever win that competition.
No, that is a good point.
Also having no idea if they've been training or not.
Yeah, Libby's mom hitting one target and then they just get the point for that. Like, there was no real explanation there. Maybe they had to cut some stuff out, but Tommy, you're a low point.
I think some of the early cheese, and, you know, obviously we were able to get to the bottom potentially of the whole, you know, Sophie and Clark showing up outside. But that seemed like a little bit too perfect. I mean, shouldn't need our absurd fan theories to kind of bail them out, I think. So I'd have to give, just like the intro was a little bit of a low point for me. That's my low point there. It's just maybe the overall cheese of the episode. And again, I'm still not a huge fan of like Alex and Sophie, or not Sophie, Alex and her boss is it Stephanie?
Yeah, Stephanie. Yeah,
Alex and Stephanie's interaction is just always a little bit cringeworthy.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think my low point was the beginning when they just, you know, happened to be lost and all these things started happening and they just sort of randomly invited them to dinner. Yeah, a little forced. I was like, oh, geez, here we go. But they turned it around in the end. So that's my low point. We'll go to our MVPs now. Tommy,
your MVP. My MVP is going to be Coob, not only for his performance and his singing, but I really liked the other note I wrote down was beginning of the episode before he gets invited to the sleepover. He's very aware of how shitty he is. And, like, yeah. He's like, I'm the worst player in this team. Like, you scored a goal. I let in 17. It's like, yeah, like, how do you not notice that? So, like, I appreciated that self-awareness, and it, you know, led to the sleepover and, you know, Mike's high point there. So I'm going to give it to Coob, even though he's obviously the worst player. I thought learning more about him and his realizations was fun. And, you know, he's a great singer, too, so that was good.
Yeah, I wrote in my notes, Coob's terrible play finally coming up. So, Kevin, your MVP.
I am very tempted to give it to Sophie's dad.
Oh.
I'm struggling with this because I think that'll be the most impactful thing. But I think I'm just going to barely give it to Bombay, because I think he's the catalyst for everything that really happens in this episode, from stirring the pot enough to get Alex to be, or get her to accept the moms competing against the Ducks, to training them, to motivating and all that. So I think Bombay narrowly edges out Sophie's dad.
Interesting. Sophie's dad. I did not see that one coming.
I do want to give him an honorable mention because I mean, he did the right thing.
Yeah, he came around in the end. Did seem to sort of follow Sophie's mom a little bit down the wrong path, but as they mentioned, came around in the end. I thought about Sophie for this. You know, she busted her ass to go to two practices, worked hard, sort of set up this whole all the stakes for the mom's challenge. But I'm going with Coop. just an incredible transformation from him, and you know, going outside of his comfort zone, and then the added talent of singing, I think was just put him over the top. So I'm going with Coobs. So Coob now has one MVP, Evan has one MVP, and Nick has two. As we come up on the halfway point here,
Coop has more MVPs than he has goal stops.
maybe we don't. Yeah, we don't see him make any saves. That is a good point. So yeah, his save percentage is just awful. But there you go. We have already talked about this episode longer than the episode actually ran. So we should try to. Wrap this up pretty quickly. At QuackDeckPod on Twitter, facebook.com/QuackDeckPod. Go to iTunes. Give us 5 stars. Tell us your MVPs. A big thanks to our producers. I'll read them real fast because they keep this all alive. We appreciate you. Our executive producers, Elsie Barnett, Brian Berg, Alex Jabara, Josh Licht, Bobby LeMaire, Rabbi Lex Rothenberg, Aaron Davis, Ed Semia. Our regular producers, Deborah Chen, Jeremiah Bershey, Adam Ferry, Joyce Ng, Jared Beasley, Lisa Wobig, Anthony Geoffrey, Jeff Fantas, Matt Holtwick, Stevie Yanks, and JD Youngblood. If you want to keep this going, you too can become a producer of the show. There's a link in the show notes. And for us, remember, Ducks Fly Together.
Ducks Fly Together.
Ducks Fly. Ain't no turning back. Got to believe it.